Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed every time we can gather together around the Word of God with another great kingdom-minded guest. And that is what we are doing right now. My good friend, Pastor Steve Castle, of the Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois, is back today for part two of what ended up as a three-part interview. Praise God. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. Pastor Steve was the first pastor in America to file legal challenges against executive orders during the pandemic, which resulted in the shutdown of churches in America. He caught, basically there's no other way of putting it, he caught hell from peers and foes alike. In our prior episode, he was explaining some of those challenges he was facing. Go back and listen to it because it sets the stage for everything else we'll be talking about today and tomorrow. Let's jump back now into their interview with Pastor Steve Castle.
But this should be normal, normal, regular, run-of-the-mill disciple activity for people who are called after the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, and there's just a lot of folks that aren't living that way.
Amen. You know, I'll see, you know, fellow pastors or, you know, people that, you know, I'm familiar with anyway, and maybe at the grocery store or something like that. And, you know, you make your query, go, hey, how you doing? You know, what's been going on? And if they say something along the lines of, well, I got this and this going on, need to pray for me because blah, blah. I said, okay, let's pray. And I, boom, you know, I nail them right there. And they're, you're going to pray here? Yeah, I mean, that's what you asked me to do. You know, I mean, it seems like, well, you know, pray for me. And then they want you to go home. And,
oh, I
you
know.
It's been, you know, but I'm right there in the middle of the you know, eggs and milk aisle, you know?
Yeah, just, I would.
And I just, you know, I've been doing that since JSMI.
Yeah, some of those folks would be, would honestly be better off. You just, if I thought about this, and I know this is going to sound just probably offensive, but I've actually thought about walking around with like God scratch off lottery tickets. And when somebody says, hey, pray for me, I just hand them a lottery ticket. Just go home and scratch it, see what happens. You know, maybe you'll win a prayer answered, maybe you won't. Like that, nowhere. I literally just preached. I was invited to the Chicagoland Full Gospel Businessmen's, which was a super honor because obviously all of my spiritual fathers and heritage, they would always talk about back in the day being able to preach with the Full Gospel Businessmen. So it was a huge honor for me. But anyway, they asked me to share about my story and all this stuff. And I'm not going to share about anything without bringing up the finished work of the cross, because everything I do comes from that root. And so, I was doing this and the meeting went like a half hour longer and they were like, please don't stop. And I'm like, I got to honor, you know? And so, finally I'm like, look, I gotta be done. I'm not going to cause any problems. And they were so, I don't know, irritated that I was going to be done, that they're like, will you please stay after? I was literally in the parking lot until after midnight praying for,
or
not praying. But anyway, one of the things I told them is I'm not going to pray for anybody. And they were all like sucking the air out of the room. I said, I'm not going to pray for any of you. Nowhere in scripture did the Lord ever tell us to pray for the sick. He told us to heal the sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said, I'm not going to pray for any of you. And they finally got it. They're like, I didn't come here to throw up a prayer to the great genie in the sky, hoping that, you know, we get one of our three wishes or not. I am come, you know, when the Lord has released me into the, I'm commanded to heal the sick. Amen. And we've seen, I don't even know the number. Like, well, I can tell you this, everybody that came up to get ministered to received something and manifested it that night, And like I said, I was in the parking lot until, I don't know, it was at least midnight, because I didn't get home till 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And this is just lately, like I've been traveling all over the nation lately, and this is exactly it. They want to hear the story about you know, that pastor at that church that fought against the government, which I'm super honored to tell them the story. But eventually what they're going to get is the finished work of the cross. And this happens everywhere we go. We just see people not understanding, like, that's what that really means. And I know that most people out there in our, in your audience, Robert, our audience understand that by his stripes are healed. But it has no actual real legitimate change in how a person actually lives their life. Just like in this pandemic, put your mask on, 6 feet distance, stay, you know, that, well, you know, it's wisdom. Man, if I hear one more person telling me that it's wisdom to do something against the scriptures, I'm going to just slap them and repent. But, you know, just, and you brought up Psalm 91, no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. Wow. Come on, Pastor. You just can't take all the stuff in the Bible literal. Like, it, you know, I mean, it, it's not, you know, there's been things that have gotten into our house, you know, that, you know, it, it doesn't actually mean like you're not going to be able to be free from a virus. And I'm like, well, what does it mean?
Yeah.
I've actually gotten to that place. I'm like, you tell me what it means.
Yeah.
You know, and if I hear one more person tell me that it's a spiritual healing, can anybody please, please define for me a spiritual healing? Please define how the Spirit of Christ on the inside of me, the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, please tell me why the Spirit of Christ on the inside of me needs to be healed.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's what I tell people. I say, are you going to need healing in heaven? And there's no sickness in heaven, you know? I mean, this, you know, you need healing here.
anything that has to do with the effects of the fallen aspects of this world, with the effects of the curse, those effects only go skin deep and soul deep. That's it. Because we have gotten the Spirit, which is from heaven, that helps us cry out, Abba, Father. That Spirit is the actual Spirit of God. It is the third person of God. Amen. And that lives on the inside of me. One third of me on the inside of me, one third of me is fully God, fully, completely God.
Amen.
Now, my soul needs to be dealt with by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And my body needs to be dealt with because it it still has effects from the fact that it was born of these natural substances. I am still dirt. Yep. The Lord knows our frame, and he knows that we are but dust. And so there is that. But that doesn't mean that it has to fall apart. I still have promises from God. Jesus still paid for our physical bodies. He was resurrected in the physical. He took stripes in the physical. He had crown of thorns pressed onto him in the physical. Like there's a lot of promises and benefits that we still have in our physical body.
Absolutely.
But the world has told us, well, the older you get, the more your stuff's supposed to fall apart. The first thing to go is your eyes. Then the next thing that goes is your hearing. And then you lose your mind. And then eventually you're in a, you know, like, well, tell that to Moses, who climbs a mountain, is still
120
years virile at 120 years old, and literally just leaves. You know, tell it to Enoch, who walked with God for 3 years and then just decided to leave. You know, tell it's over and over in the scriptures where people are like, hey, wait a minute. This is part of the promises of God. Just like the reference you made with David. Hey, wait a minute. Don't we have a covenant?
That's right.
I could literally see him, and I'm kind of a brash guy, so you know you'll have to forgive me. But I could literally see him like opening up his robe, and looking at his circumcision, and go, guys, don't we have a covenant?
Like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Yeah. I don't give a rip if he's 9 feet tall or 900 feet tall. I have a circumcision right here that promises me that my God, the God of the whole universe, is going to protect me in things that I do for him. Amen. And this guy is violating the covenant of God. I could literally see him like open up his robe, like, guys, don't we have a promise? Like they have something that we don't have. They had a physical mark, you know, me and you just have the scriptures. But I mean, it's the same way when I open up, you know, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4-5. And Psalms 91 and over and over, when I open those up, that's the scar. That's the scar for me. That's the circumcision for me. Okay. Jesus took stripes for my healing, which means I don't have to be sick.
That's right.
So if something comes and tries to make me sick, that's my Goliath. And so I'm going to take my rocks. I'm going to take the rock, the word of God, Jesus Christ. I'm going to take my rock and I'm going to go chunk it into his forehead.
Amen.
And he's going to fall like every other thing. So when symptoms and diseases come, I just take my rocks and I load my sling. And eventually the enemy has figured out, like, he doesn't come anywhere near our house, because this is I got a whole area in my backyard where I bury the soiled diapers of all the demons that have tried to come to our house and cause problems. They just wet themselves and we kick their tailbones and they go running off to somewhere else.
You heard the story. I heard it when I was first at Bible school. Kenneth Copeland told about, you know, the little demon running out and said, "Oh, let's go to that house over there." No, stay away from that house. You'll get your head bashed in over
That's
there.
That's right. Don't go to Steve's house. That guy, he's for real. I was just reading a letter from another person who was a guest at our church not that long ago, and they wrote a letter, and they're like, "Man, I don't." And they had like 20 or 30 bullet points about all the stuff they had, and something happened to their car, and then they got sick, and somebody was sitting behind them at work and cursing them, and someone was doing some kind of witchcraft on them, and I'm like, "Man, this person is so aware of Satan that they couldn't find God if he was in the room, like manifested." And there's a ton of Christians that live that way.
And
God bless these guys that go around the country and sell millions of books and make millions of dollars on spiritual warfare. I mean, man, I'll tell you what, I could be an instant millionaire if I wanted to. I will write a book on the end times about how terrible it's going to be. And then my second book will be a book on spiritual warfare. Because every Christian out there is going to buy a book on the end times and how terrible it's going to be. And then the second book they buy is on spiritual warfare. And how many demons and devils and witchcraft and wizards and seances and Ouija boards have been out to get them. And that's the reason that every time they walk down the stairs, they get a twinge in their ankle. But I mean, it is absolutely idiotic how deceivable the people of the body of Christ are get into spiritual warfare. Not one time did Jesus ever do any spiritual warfare. Not one time did Paul ever do any spiritual warfare. Not one time did Peter do any spiritual warfare. They just went from city to city, preached the gospel, cast out demons, healed the sick, wrecked the place, and then went to the next city.
That's why I tell people I can't be a pastor. I'm more of an evangelist. The pastor, I go into town and upset the apple cart and then leave. that's my job. I go in and just say boom, and then everyone else, they'll come to the pastor, "How come you don't preach like that?"
Well, I at Beloved Church, I burnt the apple cart, so we don't even have to upset it anymore.
Amen. My
people almost egg me on when I start going this way. They're like, "Come on, pastor." So it's a blessing. It hasn't always been that way. To take it back to your original comments about being that guy going out there and starting a fight, when I was being vilified by all the Christians and all the pastors, you know, thousands of them, and I did about 90 interviews, Robert, and we're talking CNN, I was on Fox and Friends, I was on ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, anybody that was anybody wanted to talk to that crazy wild pastor that was going to be a super spreader and kill everybody. And they all tried to vilify me. And man, I tell you, it was rough because I couldn't buy a pal. I mean, it was almost like me and Kay. I mean, me and Kay against the world, against the Christian world, against the media world, against the sick world, you know, the pandemic world. It was like, I felt like we were out there. And so it was super, super terrible. And there were days that, I mean, I just was not feeling the joy of the Lord and skipping across the parking lot. And I remember one day in particular, I came back from doing an interview where they just, it was from the moment go, it was every question, every statement, everything was intended to just paint me as some kind of a wicked, crazy spiritual lunatic or whatever it was. And man, I came back and I did everything I could to try to, you know, some of these interviews, they're going to get done what they're going to get done. And all you can do is just be quiet while they talk terrible. And so I came home and I was feeling like, "Lord, I let you down. And, you know, I didn't represent you well. And, you know, I'm trying to, you know, to minister the gospel to people on these interviews and da 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 da." And I just felt terrible. And I got home on my desk in my house was sitting a letter from my mom, who my 72, three-year-old parents drove over here from, you know, from where they lived and put a note on my desk while I was gone and said, you know, basically like, honey, we love you. We're with you. If the whole world gives up on you, we know you're doing the right thing. And I was like, ah, hey, I mean, leave it to a godly mom, you know, to like come and inspire you. And then I opened up my computer and I got an email, random dude, random place in the world, random email. It was like, Pastor, I was praying and I felt like you needed to hear this. And it was a quote from Mark Twain that said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, the timid will join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And if you're this was obviously something Mark Twain, a lot of people don't know this, but Mark Twain was very learned about the American Revolution. A lot of the inspiration for things that he did came from the founding of our country, the founding fathers, and those original patriots. Mm-hmm. He encapsulized it amazingly.
Yeah.
Because I don't think most folks know this, especially Americans don't know this, but only 3% of the American population in the American Revolution took up arms.
That's 3%. Right. Yeah.
3%. 3% of America is who took up arms. And I know that people are thinking, well, you know, I mean, obviously if 3% took up arms, you know, you can't have everybody. And I'm okay, that's fine. So only 25% of the nation was pro-revolution, was pro-independence. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Our nation was birthed, the greatest nation that has ever existed in human history, birthed by godly people under godly precepts based upon the Bible and sermons that were preached at that time.
Yep.
The greatest, most prosperous nation ever formed was birthed by only 25% of the population. About 30% of the population was against it. And about half of the population didn't give a rip.
Yeah. Just leave me and my stuff alone.
It is literally just like today, where they were like, hey, I'm just trying to make a living. I'm just trying to provide for my family. I'm just trying to, you know, get from day to day, you know, leave me out of this stuff. I'm not getting all into a fight, whatever. If we're ruled by British, we're ruled by British. If we're ruled by, you know, a federal government, then we'll have a federal. I don't care. Leave me out of it.
Yeah.
And the problem was, a lot of those folks, they were the ones that had their homes taken over by the British. They were the ones that had their children murdered. They were the ones that had their wives raped. And these were the people. These in the middle, I'm not going to get into a war, just leave me alone. Those are the people that are usually oftentimes the first ones to feel the misery and the pain. You might as well engage. Yeah. And so that's one of my messages for this audience today, Robert, is that you might as well engage. There's a war going on.
That's right.
Right now, there is a war going on.
That's right.
If you go home and you go to sleep and you pretend like there ain't, that doesn't mean that there ain't. It just means that you're going to be fodder. You're just going to be one of the fodder that is going to, whatever side wins, whatever happens, you know, let it be, you know, however the cards play, whatever the sovereign Lord wants, the Lord's will be done. Terrible, terrible, wicked, wicked ideology.
Yeah, and you that kind of takes me to the issue that, you know, with all the craziness going on right now, you know, the riots, the critical race theory and crime and murder rates going up, why aren't pastors rallying together and bringing pressure on the politicians to stop all this nonsense, bring law and order back, bring Jesus and his word to hold prayer rallies in the midst of the chaos? You know, what can the pastors do to stand up against all this?
Well, I can tell you this. I know this personally. I know this scripturally. And I know this, obviously, through going through what I went through over the last 15 months. A majority. I don't know the number. I don't know the percentage. But it's likely a majority of every pastor in the country is a hired hand. And Jesus specifically said that when you have a hired, shepherd, they'll flee when the wolf comes. And so the wolf came, and so they fled. Now, some of them didn't actually flee, like get out of the ministry, at least do the honest thing, which is actually the more wicked, is the fact that some of these folks who are hired hands, they didn't actually flee and just abandon their congregation so that some other shepherd who actually is called by God, actually anointed by God, could come in and tend the flock. They actually just stayed there because they were getting paid. So now they're sitting on their couch doing Facebook Live church, calling it church, lying, maligning the Spirit of God, maligning the Bride of Christ, saying that that online church is church. That is such a lie. And they're being paid for it. So here's the problem. About, I don't know, a majority of the preachers that are in America, they're not actually doing this by calling and by anointing. They're just doing it for a paycheck.
Yeah.
And to be fair, you know, if you're a kid and you know, like, what do you want to be when you grow up, little Johnny? Well, I could be an army man, or I can be a policeman, or I can be a businessman, or I can be a preacher. Like, you know, preachers make $90,000-$100,000 a year, plus they get a, you know, a parsonage, and they get an auto allowance and a communications allowance, and they get tenure. You know, if you preach in a denomination for 10 years, they'll give you tenure and you get to stay for the rest of your life. And really, I mean, what's the problem? You don't have to say anything challenging as long as they keep voting you in every year. So if they're voting you in, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to say things that they want to hear. So they keep voting you in. And so about half of the pastors that are in our nation are in this profile, and they just got a good job. Mm-hmm. They just got a really good job. Well, and the cool thing was that they got to survive sitting on their couch over the time of this pandemic. Yeah. So there's two problems. Mm. We don't actually have a lot of people in ministry that are called, anointed, and ordained by God to be there. And two, we got so many ignorant, and I'm being kind, honestly. We have so many ignorant Christians, quote unquote Christians. I don't know if they really are. But we have so many ignorant Christians that they're just going to send their money and allow this thing to take place. And as much as we want to whine and complain, the same thing happens in government. I could give you name after name of people here in Illinois government that are literally called by Satan, anointed by Satan, to terrorize and destroy people. And they keep voting them in every year, sending them money. Sending money to their Democratic PACs and doing, and as much as I want to whine and complain that the church is doing it, like, we came by it honest. This is how we learned how to do it. Our political system works the same way. All you got to do is have some glamorous name and do a couple of things and get a couple $1 million and get your face and your name out there on national TV. You'll keep getting voted in. I mean, you could go. I honestly believe that we are in a time where people would vote for you. Could, like, have a video of a guy, like, sexually assaulting, raping children, and have a video and release it. And they're like, well, you know, I mean, we're a forgiving culture. We'll keep voting him in. He must have learned his lesson. You know, and I'm like, it's the same thing with preachers. Like, there are people that are sitting in churches and they're like, well, you know, I know our pastor's not dealing with critical race theory, and he's not dealing with any of the government stuff, but he is telling us how to love our neighbor. I'm like, how do you not love your if you are not defending children from getting their minds molested in public school from critical race theory? Mm-hmm. How are you loving your neighbor? Are you loving your neighbor? Please.
Yeah, that's you know, this president and his administration, they're literally destroying the constitutional form of government, which, you know, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, those are all in the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights, right? And all that's on the verge of being abolished, you know, by this group that's in charge now. What can the local pastors do at their level to combat the evil that we're seeing openly running amok in our society today?
And here's the something that most people have never considered. Jesus, who was a third of the Trinity, broke the Trinity so that he could come down and take on humanity. And in 3.5 years, completely upended the entire universal system that was in place at that time.
Amen.
Through what he did, through doing it as perfectly as he did it, it says in Ephesians that he descended into the lowest parts and he ascended into the highest parts so that he could fill all things, so that he could have the name that's above all name, that the Father could give him all honor, all power. And so then he comes back in the Great Commission and he says, all power, all authority has been given unto me. So you take my name and you go into all the world. You know what he said? He said, all right, I have just formed the most powerful, supernatural, eternal government that has ever existed. Of Amen. The kingdom of our God, there shall be no end. I have just formed the most powerful government in the entire world. Now, we the people. That this is exactly where the founding fathers got our Constitution from. Mm-hmm. They seen the reality of the Great Commission. And they say, okay, so the most powerful government ever formed, the government of God, the kingdom of God, the king of the kingdom of God turns around to the people and says, you take this power and you go into all the world.
Yeah.
It's exactly what our founding fathers did. They said, okay, we're going to form the greatest government that's ever been formed in humanity. And then we're going to turn around. We're going to give it to we the people. And so now all we the people are sitting here complaining about the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
When the politicians work for us, the school boards Amen. Work for us, the county boards work for us, the police chiefs work for us, the county sheriff works for us. They all, every one of them, with enough we the people together, not one single person in any of these positions Amen. Will ever exist.
Amen.
So the fact that there's evil things going on in your school district, in your county, in your city, in your state, it's because we the people did not do what was established for us to do. Amen. And so what can the local pastor do? He can get people involved. I won't say commanded because it sounds terrible. I'm not some legalistic pastor. But I have strongly encouraged and exhorted our people, go out, start businesses, get on your local school boards, get on your local county boards, go to meetings, I'm an elected official. I'm on the Republican Central Committee. And so, and I wear out our chairman.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time with today's portion of this amazing interview with a very good longtime friend of mine, Pastor Steve Castle of the Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois. Today, Pastor Steve has been sharing about the craziness going on in society and our culture, backed by the politicians with virtually no opposition from the church. It's as if the church has just rolled over and given up. Folks, this should not be the case. This was, and I emphasize was, a Christian nation. That is where our blessing came from. But now, as we've basically given God as a nation the middle finger salute, from the office of president on down to every level of politicians and even in the churches themselves, is it any wonder why the hedge of protection and the blessing have been withdrawn from this nation? Well, I urge you to come back for the next episode because you will not want to miss how Pastor Steve wraps all of this up in a nice, tidy package that will have anyone who is truly saved and serving God angry. Angry at what has taken place in our society. Praise God. I love a good fight, especially when it involves spirit-led people against those that side with the devil. Amen? Don't you? Well, come back for the conclusion of our interview with Pastor Steve Castle as we discuss how our freedom and liberty are under attack. Until next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.